This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, June 25th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
stocks are falling around the world as trade tensions between the U.S. and China heat up.
Bloomberg has learned the U.S. plans curbs on Chinese investments on security reasons.
Turkish stocks and the lira climb after Recep Erdogan's sweeping election victory. We are live in Istanbul with the latest.
The ACLU is reacting to President Trump's call for the end to due process for undocumented immigrants. Plus, Defense Secretary Mattis heads to China. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees and Mets both swept over the weekend while England dominates at the World Cup.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Harvard Business School, partnering with global companies to equip leaders with the strategic skills, global vision, and confidence to tackle complex issues and continually reshape their businesses.
And European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are following Asian shares lower amid seemingly gloomy prospects for global trade. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 17 points, Dow futures down 167, NASDAQ futures down 59, the DAX in Germany is down 1.2%, CAC in Paris down 0.8%, FTSE 100 down 0.9%, Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.8%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $68.71 a barrel. COMEX gold up less than 0.1% up 90 cents at $12.71.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1662. The yen, 109.46. And this data check brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective no-K1 commodity ETFs. Visit graniteshares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Bob.
Continuing trade tensions taking their toll on the equity markets. And this week, the U.S. is planning to use one of its most significant legal measures to curb Chinese investments. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Sources tell Bloomberg that Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is planning on using an emergency law to declare China's investment in certain U.S. companies a threat to economic and national security. This places the U.S. trade war with China on a potentially irreversible course. The law would be administered through an interagency government panel called the Committee on Foreign Investments in the U.S., or CFIUS. The sources say Mnuchin has been persuaded by members of the cabinet and the president to use blunt tools to address growing national security risks from Chinese investments. Some administration officials are concerned that declaring a national economic emergency could hammer the stock market or hurt U.S. firms operating in China. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. China's central bank will cut the amount of cash some lenders must hold as reserves, unlocking about $108 billion of liquidity. It will drop by 0.5 percentage point on July 5th. That's the day before the U.S. and China are scheduled to impose tariffs on each other. The PBOC says the aim is to support small and micro enterprises and to further promote the debt-to-equity swap program.
In Turkey, stocks and the lira are rallying after Recep Erdogan's victory in the weekend election. Let's go live to Istanbul and get the very latest now from Bloomberg's Yusuf Kemal Eldin. Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a dramatic few hours on the streets of Istanbul and across Turkey as the results began to trickle in. Two key insights here. One is that President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was able to carve out another term after being in the position already for 16 years, but he was able to do it in the first round, which surprised quite a few observers. And then the other one is that the ruling AK Party lost ground in parliament. That means they're going to need to work with another party to form a coalition to continue to wield influence. We saw, again, a bit of a reaction in some of the markets, but the gains are easing, though, and there's still concern about where the country is going to go in terms of economic policy and what's going to happen with central bank independence as well. For Bloomberg Daybreak in Istanbul, I'm Yusuf Kemal Eldin.
Thanks, Yusuf. And checking the lira right now, it is up 1%.
In deal news, Graystar has agreed to acquire Education Realty Trust, a developer of student housing, for about $4.6 billion, including debt. Institutional investors have been seeking to increase their exposure to student housing because it offers better yields than the best located traditional real estate assets.
General Electric is said to be nearing the sale of its factory power generation unit to Advent International. The Wall Street Journal reports it will go for at least $3 billion. The paper says the private equity firm apparently triumphed over a competing bid from Cummins.
Banks will once again be in focus this week. The Federal Reserve releases results of part two of its annual bank stress test. We get more from Bloomberg News finance team leader Michael Moore.
So this week, we get the second round of Fed stress tests, and this is the key round because this is when the Fed signs off on the capital plans for banks' dividends and buybacks, and that's what investors care about, how much money they're going to get back over the next year.
Bloomberg's Michael Moore. The results will be released Thursday after the close of trading.
IPO naysayers should check the numbers. The dozen U.S. initial public offerings expected this week is a milestone not seen since June 2015. BJ's Wholesale tops the list in size, aiming to raise as much as $638 million. It's followed by commercial landscaping services company Brightview Holdings and Chinese online used car selling platform Yuxin.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the government will issue data on new home sales, and economists are forecasting a rebound for last month. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
The prior report covering April showed new home sales declined for the first time in 3 months. The data reflected a setback in the West and indicated rising borrowing costs and property prices could restrain the market. The number of homes sold but not yet started increased to a five-month high, a sign that developers will be busy at least a while longer. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. The most dramatic events in the oil market last week occurred in North America, as opposed to OPEC's get-together in Europe, according to Goldman Sachs. The bank says the outage of an oil sands facility in Canada could lead to a shortage in North America for all of July and shrink stockpiles at the main U.S. storage hub in Cushing, Oklahoma. Right now, WTI is up 0.5% to $68.94. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. A new proposal from the president. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump is calling for people who enter the U.S. illegally to be sent back to their countries immediately without appearing before a judge. In a series of tweets yesterday, the president demanded strong borders, adding the U.S. cannot accept all of the people trying to break into the country. Trump's comments drew a sharp retort from the American Civil Liberties Union. The director of the ACLU's Immigrants' Rights Project says what President Trump has suggested here is both illegal and unconstitutional. Stormy Daniels' lawyer says the porn actress's meeting has been canceled with federal prosecutors in Manhattan who are investigating President Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. Michael Avenatti says he received a call late last night from prosecutors who said they were concerned about media coverage and canceled the meeting. A person familiar with the matter had told the Associated Press that the meeting planned for today was in anticipation of a possible grand jury appearance. Defense Secretary James Mattis is heading to Asia to discuss, among other things, the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Mattis says his first overseas stop will be to China.
I'm going there to get what I consider to be straight from them. What they see for a strategic relationship.
Mattis will also make stops in South Korea and Japan. A fast-growing wildfire has prompted mandatory evacuations in Lake County, California. The Pawnee Fire is 0% contained and has already burned more than 7,000 acres and at least 12 buildings. British Prime Minister Theresa May is under renewed pressure from business to step up the pace of Brexit negotiations. Bloomberg's Alex Morales has more from London.
The UK's five main corporate lobby groups sent a letter to the Prime Minister saying that without clarity soon, businesses will inevitably have to implement plans for a worst-case scenario, which could cost the UK economy billions of pounds and thousands of jobs. The letter followed similar warnings last week from Airbus and BMW. May is yet to spell out what future relationship she's seeking with the European Union amid squabbling within her own cabinet about what the country should prioritise. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. And that brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees walked out of Tampa Bay tied with the Red Sox after getting swept, losing 7-6 on a heartbreaker in the 12th inning. Skipper Aaron Boone.
You know, I actually thought for getting shut down today, you know, there was probably six or seven balls that I felt like we hit on the screws a couple early when we had runners out there. But just overall, just not really mounting much after that big inning a couple days ago. So, I mean, yeah, over the course of 162, that's going to happen. We just got to keep grinding at it and really come back and have that urgency tomorrow and try and get out of here with one under our belt.
New York never led, but did see Giancarlo Stanton go 5-for-5, crushing his 19th home run. He drove in a pair. Both clubs used seven pitchers. The Yankees are on to Philadelphia, where they'll take on the Phillies at 7:05. Red Sox are idle. They host the Angels on Tuesday. Mets got peppered at Citi Field, also swept, this time to the tune of allowing seven home runs to the Dodgers, yet L.A. only beat New York 8-7 in 11 innings. Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
I think it's the same old tale. I think the guys want to score for them so bad that they're putting extra pressure on themselves. You know, we had our chances with probably our best matchups against lefty up there with, you know, runners on third and less than two outs, and we just didn't get the job done.
Mets have now dropped six straight and 7 out of 10. They're 12 and a half back of Atlanta and welcome the Pirates at 7:10. Sunday saw England dominate Panama 6-1 at the World Cup, the most impressive win of anyone thus far. Japan tied Senegal and Colombia shut out Poland. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. S&P futures down 17 points this morning. That is 2/3 of 1%. Dow futures carving off 174 points. NASDAQ futures down 63 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 6/32. The yield at 2.8730%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are following Asian shares lower amid seemingly glooming prospects for global trade. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 169. NASDAQ futures down 63. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.33% or 26 cents to $68.84 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 60 cents at $12.71.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1658, the yen, 109.45. We are in between earnings reporting season, but Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger says several marquee names will be posting their numbers this week. And here is Jeff Bellinger.
First up will be Carnival Cruise Line's quarterly results, which will be out before the markets open this morning. This will be a big week for Walgreens Boots Alliance. The drugstore chain opens its books on Thursday, 2 days after it replaces General Electric in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Nike reports on Thursday. Investors hope to hear the athletic wear maker is on track to return to earnings growth in the 2019 fiscal year. General Mills, Bed Bath & Beyond, and the home builders Lennar and KB Home also check in this week. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump says people who invade the U.S. illegally should be deported immediately without court hearings or other normal judicial processes. Trump said on Twitter yesterday, when somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back to where they came from. North Korea has opted not to hold this year's anti-U.S. imperialism rally, marking the start of the Korean War. It's another sign of detente following the summit between leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost, along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox, Nationals, and Giants all won. In the World Cup, England and Colombia were winners. Japan and Senegal ended in a draw. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. We're joined by Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist for Investments at MetLife Services and Solutions. With little else to distract investors from the negative news this morning, European stocks and U.S. stock index futures seem to be registering concern over a darkening global trade outlook. Drew, good morning. Is this just the soup du jour, or is there more to worry about as these trade tensions with China and elsewhere drag on?
Well, I think with a lot of the with a lot of political and policy related items, you just have to wait and see what actually happens, because you know sometimes the rhetoric is tense, but you know the outcomes are more benign, and I think you know it's just important to wait and see what actually comes through and what the end result is.
Well, you say wait and see. What's an investor to do in the meantime?
I think you're supposed to focus on the fundamentals. The economic fundamentals are good. Earnings, the last earnings season was good. Companies are doing reasonably well, and there are a lot of indicators that suggest, that we're not too far into the cycle. So, I know people are always worried about how late cycle the U.S. is or questioning how late the U.S. is in its cycle. And the answer is, by some measures, we're not that very far along.
And as investors watch this, is there just as much of a chance that this could flip and, sort of reverse itself very quickly?
Well, we just don't know. And I think that's the issue, is there are certain things that investors are very good at pricing, very good at estimating, earnings, growth, the potential for interest rates to move, up or down. When it comes to trade policies and the like, that's a much harder thing to figure out, all the different permutations, and therefore it's a much harder item to price.
Well, let's talk about interest rates now and talk about the yield curve. You still have ongoing concerns about that, or do you have ongoing concerns, I should say?
We've built those concerns into our forecast with the yield curve. We do believe that even if the Fed's not sure that a flat yield curve is a problem, that they're going to be unwilling to kind of take that chance. And the market participants are going to respond negatively if the Fed moves to raise rates and 10-year notes haven't come off of where they are just yet. So we only look for one more Fed rate hike this year versus the two the Fed's telling us they want to do. And we look for 10-year yields to end the year kind of close to 3.25.
Now, when you say the markets could respond negatively, are we talking about something like a taper tantrum here or something a little less volatile?
No, I just think a general tightening of financial conditions. People respond, with a heightened idea of risk in the marketplace. The view is obviously if the yield curve gets too flat, it's signaling a recession. And the Fed would look at the term premium and say, the term premium has actually been quite low. This isn't a big deal. But I think most market participants grew up when I did. And, for us, looking at that yield curve flatten and move towards inversion, is a more worrisome development.
Now, Morgan Stanley says investors have seen the peak of the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield this year. Would you concur?
I would not. I think when we look at what's happened since the start of the year, the movement of the 10-year yield has all been because of expectations of higher U.S. growth and not because of expectations of higher U.S. inflation. When it's biased in that direction, I think it's trying to reflect the economic fundamentals. Now, flows noise are always going to get in the way of movements. But in the end of the day, we feel that they tend to win out.
Okay, just a few seconds left here. How many more Fed increases this year?
We look for one Fed rate increase this year. If the 10-year yield moves above our forecast to 3.25 for year end, there might be more.
Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist for Investments at MetLife Services and Solutions. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. A forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently down 18 points. That is 0.2%. Dow futures have carved off 175 points. NASDAQ futures down by 66 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 6/32. The yield at 2.8730%. The 2-year yield at 2.5204%. West Texas Intermediate is up 0.4% at $68.86 a barrel. And this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks around the world are falling amid seemingly gloomy prospects for global trade. Dow futures are down more than 160 points.
Bloomberg News has learned the U.S. Treasury Department is planning to use an emergency law to heighten scrutiny of Chinese investments in sensitive U.S. industries. Under the plan, the White House will declare China's investment in U.S. companies involved in technologies such as new energy vehicles, robotics, and aerospace a threat to economic and national security.
China's shares and the currency fell after it said it would free up more than $100 billion in the banking system to help cushion a slowing economy. The move to trim the required reserve ratio for some banks comes into effect on July 5th, one day before the first round of U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods begin.
In Turkey, stocks in the lira are rising following Erdogan's victory in the weekend's election. We get the details from Bloomberg's Simin İndimokan in Istanbul.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan won a mandate to govern after a double victory in presidential and parliamentary elections, giving him sweeping powers as Turkey transforms from a parliamentary to a presidential system. President Erdogan got 53% of the presidential vote, compared to 31% from his closest challenger of the secular Republican People's Party, CHP. CHP conceded defeat after disputing the figures and claiming vote manipulation. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In deal news, Greystar has agreed to acquire Education Realty Trust, a developer of student housing, for about $4.6 billion, including debt.
General Electric is nearing the sale of its factory power generation unit to Advent International for at least $3 billion, that according to the Wall Street Journal.
German business confidence resumed its decline in June as trade risks intensified and economic data remained mixed. The Ifo Institute's gauge of business climate fell to 101.8. That's the worst reading in more than a year.
S&P futures are down about 17 points. Dow futures down 165. NASDAQ futures down 64. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. CAC in Paris down about 0.9%. So is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 28 cents to $68.86 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up 60 cents at $12.71.30 an ounce. In the euro, $1.1646. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. President Trump warns of an invasion. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump ratcheted up his demands on immigration policy, saying that people who invade the U.S. illegally should be deported immediately without court hearings or other normal judicial processes. Trump on Twitter yesterday said, "We cannot allow all of these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back to where they came from." The director of the ACLU's Immigrants' Rights Project said what President Trump has suggested here is both illegal and unconstitutional. Federal officials now say that roughly 1 in 5 of the migrant children separated from their parents have been reunited with their families, but critics say those reunions aren't happening fast enough. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for the appointment of a czar to expedite the reunification of families.
The situation's a big mess. It's just agonizing to see these children, especially little ones, separated from their parents.
Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security asked Secretary of Defense James Mattis to build temporary camps on two of its bases for migrants. Mattis, while preparing to head to China, did not offer specifics on the plan. First Lady Melania Trump made a rare speaking appearance last night. Mrs. Trump addressed the annual conference for students against destructive decisions in Northern Virginia. The First Lady told the young crowd their mission matches the goals of her Be Best initiative, promoting the health and well-being of young people.
You have the power to be the positive force in so many people's lives. Show respect to each other. Treat your community like your family and look out for one another.
Mrs. Trump received a standing ovation for her surprise speech. The world's last remaining ban on women driving has been lifted. For the first time, women in Saudi Arabia were driving through busy streets yesterday, including Hesa al-Ajiji in Riyadh.
I used to like sit in the back and know all the directions, and finally I'm driving myself around and know where to go and when to stop and when to pull over.
Some Saudi women hit the road just minutes after the ban was lifted yesterday. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Tough weekend for both the Mets and Yankees as they were swept at home and on the road. Yankees swept in their home away from home, Tampa Bay falling 7-6 on a walk-off home run from Jake Bowers in the 12th inning. A disappointed skipper, Aaron Boone.
You know, the losses do look at it as a bump in our road, and unfortunately it's bound to happen in a long season. We just got to turn the page and get on to a tough Philadelphia team and go out there and have a strong performance and with that urgency and expect to get a W tomorrow.
Yankees used seven pitchers in this one. On the bright side, Giancarlo Stanton back on track offensively, went 5-for-5 homering and driving in a pair, his 19th homer of the year. Road trip continues tonight in Philadelphia. Yankees are tied with the Red Sox entering play as Boston shut out Seattle. They have an off day before hosting the Angels on Tuesday. Mets allowed the Dodgers 7 home runs, tying a Major League Baseball record. All were solo shots as L.A. swept New York at Citi Field 8-7 in 11 innings. Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
You know, it's kind of been the whole season. We're not syncing up all the components that we need to sync up to win some ball games. You know, we did that early in the season. You know, guys were picking each other up. The defense made some big plays. We got the big hits or the big strikeouts. And we can't sync all those components of the game up lately or since the beginning. And that makes it tough to win games.
New York has lost 6 straight and 7 of 10. Homestand continues tonight against Pittsburgh. World Cup, England beat up Panama 6-1. Japan tied Senegal and Colombia shut out Poland. Today, Uruguay meets Russia. Saudi Arabia plays Egypt at 10 a.m. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Bushka, thank you very much. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with our cover story, how reports of Nintendo's death have been greatly exaggerated. Also in this week's issue, how Spain got its swagger back. Christina Lindblad wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Spain did labor reform, and in Spain, companies were forced by the crisis to look abroad for new markets. And this is something that small and medium-sized businesses had not traditionally done.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Morning, Bob. The price of long-neglected Harlem properties in some pretty prime locations has been soaring. A vacant 5-building group on West 125th, just east of Lenox, has sold for $26.5 million, according to the New York Post. That's about twice what it went for 6 years ago. The buyer's name was not disclosed. A developer is getting ready to break ground on a nearly 150-acre project next to Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey. It'll include a Hilton Garden Inn hotel and a sprawling sports and entertainment complex. Asbury Park Press says the development could mean sure tourism officials can finally check off a big item that's been long on their wish list. Deepwater Wind says by late 2023, electricity will make its way to Connecticut from up to 25 wind turbines, and Federal Water is about a dozen miles southwest of Martha's Vineyard. The Day reports the project will also send power to Rhode Island, which recently tapped deepwater wind in a renewable energy auction. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Goldman says an outage at an oil sands facility in Canada could lead to a crude shortage for all of July.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about the outcry of Star Wars fans over how Disney is managing the franchise.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following an appeal by Uber to stay in business in the UK capital.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that China tariffs are sending soy futures to their lowest since September of 2015.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm talking about a report Boston's General Electric is about to sell its industrial engines division.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Twitter could be the biggest winner at the World Cup, which will show off Twitter's video streaming strategy.
Thank you all. Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures down 15 points, 0.5%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Ray Catena Porsche. Nothing can quite compare to the exceptional performance of a 2018 Porsche Macan. For special offers, visit Ray Catena Porsche in Edison and Porsche Palms River.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are following Asian shares lower amid seemingly gloomy prospects for global trade. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 16 points. Dow futures down 164. NASDAQ futures down 65. The DAX in Germany is down 1.25%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 30 cents to $68.89 a barrel. COMEX gold that'll change up 50 cents to $12.71.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1652, the yen, 109.50. And at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, we get a report on new home sales and Carnival among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. military is preparing to build temporary camps at two military bases to house immigrants. That's according to Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who says the details are being worked out. President Trump's son-in-law and Mideast envoy says the administration will soon present its Israeli-Palestinian peace plan with or without input from Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In an interview published in the Al-Quds newspaper, Jared Kushner appealed directly to Palestinians and criticized Abbas, who has shunned the Trump team over what Abbas says is their pro-Israel bias. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox, Nationals, and Giants all won. In the World Cup, England and Colombia were winners. Japan and Senegal ended in a draw. Global news, 24 hours a day. On air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Good morning and welcome back. So from the Bloomberg View editorial board, Europe's monetary union is still unfinished work.
Indeed. Leaders of the European Union will meet in Brussels this week to discuss the future of the Eurozone. Now, in recent years, governments have done a lot to make this system stronger, meaning it's less likely that a crisis in one state will jeopardise the whole currency union. But even so, they haven't done enough. Today, the Eurozone is much more robust than it was at the start of the sovereign debt crisis. There's a rescue fund in the European Stability Mechanism, a tried and tested central bank with new tools, and the beginnings of a so-called banking union. All of this is valuable, but it falls short in two main ways. Firstly, the banking union needs to be completed. Second, lacking the adjustment mechanism provided by individual exchange rates, the Eurozone really needs better ways to absorb economic shocks.
And from Fernando Giuliano today, the UK Labour Party plan to set the Bank of England a productivity target is a terrible economic idea.
I think goes further and calls it one of the worst ideas ever conceived for a central bank. The idea unveiled by Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell last week is basically that the Bank of England should pair its 2% inflation target with a new 3% target for yearly productivity growth. Now, that would be a joint aim with the government. This runs against pretty much everything economists believe that should be the role of a monetary authority. And it would amount to an outright admission of defeat by elected politicians. It's their task to raise efficiency and prosperity rather than delegating it to technocrats. Now, productivity target would leave the policymakers in a big bind. Labour productivity is most often measured as output divided by the total number of hours worked in an economy. But a central bank only really has the levers to boost output and raise employment together. Improving efficiency is out of its hands. That's because it tends to come from advances in technology or management. So the risk here is that the central bank would have to keep pressing on the monetary accelerator forever to inflate output and create more and more jobs. And meanwhile, inflation would spike and the productivity goal would still never be achieved. And weirder still is the specific 3% aim. Britain has an entrenched productivity problem. Output per hour worked in the last quarter of 2017 was only marginally above where it was 10 years ago. Now, there's no doubt that British governments have to do more to boost the economy's efficiency, but central banks are there to provide stability.
Okay, and then back in 2016, the U.S. food group McCormick and Company targeted the Premier Foods Company, the British maker of Mr. Kipling, if you're familiar with that. So what's going on with that?
We're coming to the point of reckoning. It's 2 years since the Premier rejected the takeover approach as too low, and its shares are still well below the price dangled by the bidder. Now, Premier's second largest shareholder, a Hong Kong-based activist called Oasis Management, now wants the CEO to go. The charge? He mishandled McCormick's approach and failed to deliver on promises made at the time. Now, a calorific pay packet here has made matters worse. Now, at the time when McCormick came knocking, Premier seemed to do it by the book. It secured two sweetened, non-binding proposals, the last at 65 pence a share. That was more than twice Premier's share price before the talks actually became public. Eventually, Premier opened its books, and McCormick had a look and then walked. Now, it may be that Premier's pension obligations here were a problem. It's been said that this is a giant pension plan with a small bakery attached. But as in so many bid defences, the director's assessment of Premier's worth has not been vindicated. The shares are still now at about 38 pence a share. And if the company had come to a more accurate view of value, it would have engaged McCormick sooner. The snag here is it's not clear what a new CEO could do differently. Premier's leverage and sizable pension programmes are the constraint on the strategy.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg opinion editor in our London bureau, thank you very much. And you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN. Go.
It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A Treasury official says the government may answer some taxpayer questions about cryptocurrencies taxation as soon as this year. An annual report of the IRS's in-house independent watchdog is expected to renew criticisms of the agency's private collection program and its passport revocation plan for tax debtors. And the next stop on the China-U.S. tariff train comes at the end of the week when the Treasury Department unveils measures to restrict Chinese investments in the U.S.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need. All on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's take a look at the Supreme Court's Friday decision to bolster digital privacy rights by requiring law enforcement officials to obtain a warrant for a mobile phone tower record showing someone's location. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
The chief wrote the opinion, and he really seemed to have a bead on our compulsive carrying of cell phones. Tell us more about his reasoning.
Yeah, so his reasoning is, the ubiquity of cell phones. We all have them. We all carry them. And they provide an incredible amount of information to our cell phone company, even if we're not necessarily thinking we're giving information to our cell phone company. And in particular, this case is about the fact that our cell phone companies, when we make a call or end a call, they, in their towers, keep the information about where that call began and ended. And that information can be used, and with increasing accuracy, to show where a person is. And so in this case, where the question was whether the government could get about 4 months' worth of data showing the location of a robbery suspect's phone, whether he had a privacy interest in that information that was protected by the Fourth Amendment and that required the government to get a warrant. And the Supreme Court said, yes, the government does have to get a warrant.
The records are collected and held by a private company, not the government. Did the chief address that in his opinion?
Yeah, so the court in a few cases from several decades ago established what people call the third party doctrine, that says if you provide information to a third party, like your bank records, you're giving information to your bank, they're in the hands of a third party, that you are giving up your privacy interest in them to at least a large degree. You don't have the same interest you would have if you kept all your money under your mattress. And the court in this case said location information is different because there's so much of it, as we were discussing before, and it tells you so much about a person. It can reveal, things about, revealing not only your particular movements, but through them, your familial, political, professional, religious, and sexual associations. And the court has been in the past, and was in this case, very protective of that information.
And that's Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning moving lower, S&P futures down 16 points, Dow futures down 160, and NASDAQ futures down 62. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.88%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.